Kildare Today with Clem, Owen and Kira.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Thank you, Kira, for that. Now, catching up in your messages. And yes, how much did they give themselves in the budget, the politicians? I'm sure they got a big rise. Well, I don't know. Was there a specific one for politicians? There wasn't. It's just it applies to everybody, the changes in the tax bands and everything else. As we said earlier on, the story of missing Pandora, the beautiful dog from Schiphol Amsterdam International Airport. We have an update on that. We covered it a week or two ago on the programme. And I had a hugely coincidental meeting with the owners yesterday evening. More about that at around 10:45 this morning. Clem, on the Garda checkpoints, these ridiculous checkpoints are assigned by Gardaí, to Gardaí by civilian analysts, some of whom don't even drive or have been at a checkpoint. Just like the inadequate Garda cars, chosen by people who will never even sit in them. If the checkpoints are not done, then the guard has to provide an explanation. I assure you that the Gardaí would prefer to be elsewhere on patrol and detecting crime. And I absolutely agree with you 100%. I suspect you might be a Garda yourself, and thanks indeed for sending that in. But you're dead right. I mean, I know when people are stopped at these checkpoints and they're trying to get to work early. I'm talking about the commutes. You know, the awkward times that they're done. And I know, and it's like the checkpoints that were organised during the pandemic, which caused tailbacks for miles. Jesus, lads. I mean, people were going nuts and the Gardaí were getting the grief about it. And I do take your point that it's not the Gardaí on the ground who are making these decisions. Yeah, wasn't aware that it might be civilians who are assigning these. I thought it might be the local super or sergeants or whoever's controlling the divisional end of things. Anyway. Hi Clem, can you ask the public representatives if they can confirm the new youth travel card as announced yesterday will include private bus operators for college routes? Yeah, my understanding is it does. Well, maybe not for private bus operators, I don't know. Many rural areas do not have their college route serviced by public transport, so a 50% reduction in travel costs won't apply to them. This is particularly hard on students not entitled to grants. Owen, we might check out that actually. Will this new 50% reduction, this new youth card for those aged between 19 and 23, will it apply on private bus operators' routes as well and not just on the public services? I have a feeling that it won't. You never ask TDs why in the last 60 years they've made a mess of everything, year in, year out. Who are the advisors? I do, May. I ask them that all the time. I agree with Jim Fitzpatrick 100% in regards to the €5 increase a week in pensioners' payments as a listener. And finally for now, Clem, did anyone notice that car tax on certain types of cars has gone up in the budget by 1% for some tax bands and 4% for other tax bands, Mary? Yes, we did, Mary. And depending on the vehicle you drive, we'll hear a lot about that. Now, loads to come on the programme. But first, a sad day in the last couple of days for traditional music fans, of which yours truly is one. And last night on the programme, I paid special tribute to both, on Ceolaga's kind between 7 and 8, paid special tribute to two of the giants of Irish traditional music. Tony McMahon, who died in Dublin on Friday, aged 82, born in Ennis, County Clare, and greatly influenced by the wonderful box player Joe Cooley. Tony McMahon, famous for television programmes like, for example, Come West Along the Road, the longest running programme of its kind ever on Irish television. Remember that it ran for 2 decades, presented by Nicholas Carlin, and you still see reruns of it. He worked with RTE Television, superb box player over the years. He died at the age of 82 on Friday. And then yesterday, the inspiration behind the Chieftains, Paddy Maloney, his death was announced. Music composer, producer, player of the Éilean pipes, the accordion, the Bowron, founder of the Chieftains. As far back as the 50s, had engaged with the great Sean O'Riordan in Kiltory Coolin, and then with the likes of Sean Potts, Michael Tobridy, and more, founded the Chieftains in November 1962. He played on every one of the 32 albums recorded by the Chieftains, And indeed, he also made up to half a dozen individual albums of his own and travelled the world with the group. And I thought it only right on the programme this morning that we pay tribute to the late and great Paddy Maloney, who died yesterday, and indeed take into account of Tony McMahon, who died on Friday. Er yeste gara animalcha an vertaco. Fair intok kiol about Iad, Tony McMahon, agus Paddy Maloney. Here then are the Chieftains and our little tribute this morning to the great and late Paddy. Chieftains and Shin the Tishig, Darnoas Gaelge, Agus Porig Maloney, Porigomil Downing, Paddy Maloney, Erna Peabwee Illan playing the Illan pipes. And the founder members of the Chieftains, of course, Paddy, November 1962. Incredible, isn't it? How long? 60 plus, nearly 70 years on the go. Paddy Maloney was there. Sean Potts, of course, was among the founding members. Michael Tuberty, another Clare man. David Fallon, who played the Bowron originally. Martin Fay, also among the founder members. And other members then who joined over the years, Pater Mercier, who played the harp. Who else came? Sean Keane on the fiddle, giant of a man indeed. Ronnie McShane, Jeff White, and current members, Matt Malloy on the flute, and Kevin Conniff on the bowron, who also does the singing. Amazing. 32 albums the Chieftains recorded over the years, and Paddy Maloney played and worked on every single one of those. A true legend, as was Tony McMahon. They shall be missed. And if trad music is your thing, join yours truly every Tuesday evening at Shutter KFM. Glor Kildara, Geolog is kind, either a shocked or a hocked the clog. Before we continue, Owen, we have some clarification on whether this new youth transport card giving a 50% discount will be eligible for use on routes operated by private operators.
Yeah, so I got in contact with James Lawless, Fianna Fáil TD for Kildare North. Now, he's going to do a bit more information gathering on this, but the initial response, he says it's kind of designed around the same principle principle of a leap card. So it'll be, you know, you can use it on Dublin Bus, Irish Rail, Lewis and Dart services. In terms of private bus operators, some of them honour the leap card, some of them don't. So it's essentially up to their own discretion whether or not they will use this new youth travel card. But James Lawless says he is going to find out and he'll get back to me, and as soon as we have more information, we'll bring it to you.
So if 19-year-old Clem Ryan gets on a private operator's bus and the fare is €10 and I show them this card, it's up to the actual bus driver, operator, private operator to use discretion and either say, sorry, no, you have to pay the full fare, or yes, okay, I let you go at half fare.
Yeah, and that's the way it works at the moment with the leap card. Like anyone who has a leap card knows that you can use it on Dublin Bus or Irish Rail, but you couldn't use it on certain public private transport buses.
Because they wouldn't accept it.
Yeah. So it'll be the same with this.
It's nothing to do with the card as such. It's to do with whether private operators will be prepared to grant the 50% discount. So that I think is pretty clear in terms of that. Okay, Owen, thank you. Now, recently, the Women of Honour documentary on RTE Radio with Katie Hannan stirred the consciences of the nation, and we carried interviews on this programme with retired Army Captain Tom Clonan, who 21 years ago wrote a PhD thesis on sex abuse in the Defence Forces, about which nothing was done over the decades. And recently we spoke with retired Army Sergeant Anthony O'Brien, who has compiled allegations from former military personnel. Following that programme, the Women of Honour, who are women, who claimed they were sexually abused or assaulted while serving members of the Defence Forces, issued the following statement. They say, We, the Women of Honour, are grateful to the many political figures who have reached out to show their support to us and that they have heard us. We are in the process of collating the very welcome offers of support, and in the interests of fairness and equality, we will be available to meet those who have reached out to us on a confidential and without prejudice basis. We will be in contact in due course to facilitate this, as we are attempting to respond equally to all. Finally, the Women of Honour would again like to thank everyone for all of the support we have received. We ask you to continue to stand for change. Recently, the Minister for Defence, Simon Coveney, announced the appointment of what's called a confidential contact person, the CCP, to receive allegations raised by former and serving military personnel. One of those personnel, we've spoken to him a number of times on the programme previously, joins me again now, retired Army Sergeant Anthony O'Brien. Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning.
Good to talk to you again. Now, this service, we're told, will provide guidance and support to whistleblowers like yourself by helping them to document their allegations. It can also advise them on what steps to take next. Now, this confidential contact person will be engaged by a company which is Kildare-based called Raise a Concern. A private company employed by private and public bodies to investigate allegations of wrongdoing. And we carried a statement from the programme from them last week. Have you met this confidential contact person yet, Anthony?
I did. I went down to him last week. I had put all the stuff that I had gathered on a memory stick and brought it down to him to see. And I want to emphasise, for anything that he gets is treated with confidentiality as well, just to anyone that's listening there. And the Minister stated that quite clearly out on the radio as well. Anything that's been given to him or said to him, it remains confidential. He can't disclose it publicly in any way as well, you know. So, and what's happening there then is I was talking to him for maybe about 15, 20 minutes about what happened to me and about my opinion of the department, etc., etc. Now, on the 19th of this month, I am officially meeting him where he'll have somebody which will be taking minutes, etc. That was like an informal meeting I had with him, you know. So, I'll be discussing what happened with me and then discussing the contents of all everything that was brought to me by all the soldiers, the male soldiers, the female soldiers, and the child sex abuse victims out of Cora and all that. And I'm emphasising again, nobody's to worry about any of their name getting into the public domain. That will not happen, you know, just to assure them about that. You know?
But everything is utterly and totally confidential.
Yes, though, that's a fact. And the Minister actually stated that this new confident will be subject to confidentiality as well, you know. So that's where we're at now.
Yeah, I understand also that this person who has been appointed, this confidential contact person who has been appointed by Raise a Concern, as I say, this company has an office in Strafford and also in Sallins. And
in Sallins, that's where I was.
We profiled them on the programme last week because, Owen, you were in contact with the CEO, the managing director of that company.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, as we said last week, he wasn't, for obvious reasons, able to come on and talk to us, but he was happy enough for us to profile the company.
Yeah, it's a very reputable company, which acts, as we have said, in terms a private company, which acts on the basis of dealing with whistleblowers on various allegations, whether it be bullying, assault, sexual abuse, harassment, or whatever. Not just in the... They're handing now the Defence Forces account, if I could call it that, but also across, they handle this sort of material across all sectors of employment. Now, what have you confidence, Anthony O'Brien, that we're making real progress? After all, you have been raising this for years. You allege that you were assaulted by a senior army officer, sexually assaulted by a senior army officer, an army commandant. You've been raising it for years. Former Captain Tom Clonan, Dr. Tom Clonan, has been raising it for decades. He's confident now that there's real progress. Are you?
Well, at this stage, what I'm afraid of is that the review just might be totally hijacked from the point of view of that the military will own, or the department will only deal with the female sex abuse, not the male sex abuse or the child sex abuse. And I want to emphasise that whilst I've got a volume of child sex abuse from the Curragh camp, I've also have child sex abuse happening in the naval base and happening in some of the barracks around the country as well. Now, just to say that as well, do you see?
Okay.
Now, I did get an email from the principal officer in the Department of Defence that ideally I should be keeping the two separate, like, because the child sex abuses, they're not employees of the department, which I was accepting and reading. I just said to myself that I'm not letting that go.
All right.
Because a lot of child victims have come to me about being sex abused in married quarters, and it's something that needs to be addressed as well.
Of course it does, Anthony. Indeed. But you'll accept that there are two different processes, and I can understand why they say that the need is to keep them separate so that there can be clarity and progress in them all. The CCP, this confidential contact person, is expected to meet the women who have made allegations of abuse, bullying and harassment within the Defence Forces, and to provide Mr. Coveney with regular updates on the cases being reported. And as Anthony's saying there, it'll be strictly on an anonymised basis.
Confidential basis.
Yes.
And can I just say something if I can? Anyone that's come to me, I have a number as well. Well, so I've been submitting the documents to the this confidential guy. He has stressed to me, one of the answers, that he'd also like to talk to the people if he could. Right now, he said he will use the input that we'll have a look, and we will use consider everything that I've given as well when it comes to a decision. But he would also like to talk to people as well. And if I give you a telephone number, would you mind it? And because I have put it up on the Reared in the Curragh Facebook page and
go ahead.
Right, it's 610
7929. That's 01.
Yeah, 610. Yeah, 610. 7929.
Yeah, but it's 01. It's a Dublin number. 01.
Oh, yeah. My apologies. Yeah, sorry. I didn't get what you were saying. Sorry about that.
I know you're in the capital, Anthony, and you're speaking you're speaking to a foreign country here in Kildare.
Now, well, I was a 22-year soldier in Kildare.
You were a 22-year soldier in the Curragh. You're an honorary Kildare man indeed. Now, that information, by the way, will be used to the information gathered by the confidential contact person will be used to structure a separate independent review to examine how abuse allegations are dealt with by the Defence Forces and the Department of Defence, and that review is expected to begin before the end of the year. Now, we should say that the new Chief of Staff of the Defence Forces, General Clancy, has stated last week that there is no place in the Defence Forces for anybody who would be engaged in any kind of inappropriate behaviour. So there seems to be a new broom, a new attitude within the forces. Do you agree with that, Anthony?
Well, I do not doubt his sincerity, etc. on that, but I recall way back, reading stuff way back in 2002 when the chief staff of the same day at that time said the very same thing. And correspondence that I've been receiving since I started bringing it forward is the first, as I said to you, maybe 30-40% was always about what's in place now, what's in place now, what's in place now. And when the Women of Honour came out, serving females today come forward, it's still going on.
All right, okay. That's very concerning. Last week, President Michael D. Higgins, who, by the way, is Commander-in-Chief of the Defence Forces, in a sense.
That's right, yeah.
He expressed his support and admiration for the Women of Honour. Let me quote this. He said, "It is vitally important that our Defence Forces be inclusive places for men and women, workplaces which accord to each and every member the dignity and respect that defines a truly ethical workplace and that enables them to have the confidence to know that their talents and contributions are recognised and that false barriers are not erected on the basis of any perceived differences," said Oakthorne here, Michael D. Higgins. So, Anthony, we'll keep a watching brief on it.
Well done to you. I can really appreciate that as well, just to say that to you too, you know, because it needs to be out there monitored at all times, because at the end of the day, the females now have, like, even Karina there, and even David, it was Yvonne Kempton with me initially, we were talking, dealing with this initially, and then Karina came on board, and she actually, would you believe, she contacted a few soldiers that knew me to ask me who was I, what was I doing, and I got talking to Karina then, and I linked Karina up with Yvonne O'Rourke, and that's how those two guys, and they established the Women of Honour and all the other women. So, like, let's say, for instance, what I've been highlighting, I was out there first highlighting all the sex abuse in general, the female, the male, and the children. Now, the women are doing great, and I want to emphasise that I will not let the department just say it's about the female sex abuse. There's also the male sex abuse, and maybe historical, but there's still survivors, you hear me talking. I don't look or sound my age, you know, but I'm in my 60s, and I'm still a survivor, if you know what I mean. And then there's those victims of child sex abuse in the married quarters.
All right.
And at a certain level, it was covered up, you know?
Okay. All right.
It needs to be addressed, and even the victims. And in particular, and I've emphasised time and time again, a lot of the victims are not going to go through this a second time, that they've given me the evidence that they're going to talk to the confidential chap as well, and I've said that to the confidential chap,
well,
and he's emphasised, look, we'll come to an arrangement, we'll discuss it, he'll use it somehow,
Well, let's see what happens on that, Anthony, and you keep in touch with us and we'll keep in touch with you, and retired Army Sergeant Anthony O'Brien, 22 years he spent in the Defence Forces stationed at the Curra, and he's been compiling allegations of this sexual abuse within the Defence Forces for decades now, and he has engaged with the confidential contact person under this process launched and announced recently by Minister Simon Coveney, and we'll keep a close ear to all of that as well. Thank you, Anthony, for your time this morning in regards to that. Now, an email from Garrod May. Hello to you, Garrod, and all in Fonstown there. Clem, I met you on the road at 6:15 this evening. That was, in fact, yesterday evening, and I said to myself, Paddy Maloney won't be remembered on Keologa's Kind tonight. So what a surprise when you had a whole programme of his music and playing. It really was a wonderful tribute to a great musician, and to be put together at such short notice, co gorgeous, and thank you. Well, thank you, Garrod. Mind you, I said a few prayers for Paddy yesterday evening when I heard that he had his death was announced, because I'd had a whole Keologa's Kind programme prepared and put together, and then a short notice it was off, but I have a good collection of Chieftain stuff, so we were able to get and devote the whole programme except one track, which was Tony McMahon, to mark his demise as well, and Tasulugum Gawanchiv Galer, Tanivas, those who were listening to it as well. Need to take a quick break.
Kildare Today
with Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, then, before we move to our next item, just to some more reflection on the budget across the Independent, Philip O'Connell writing, saying six things we've learned from the budget. One, it was something for everyone after all, as I said, something for everyone in the audience. Young people were not ignored this time. We heard about the new youth travel card for those between 19 and 23. We've been talking about that. Another measure we're told that would benefit young people, free contraception for women aged 17 to 25, which has long been promised. By the way, do men not have sex at all? Why is there only free contraception for women is 17 to 25 and not for, at all for men? Come on, lads. You know, we've been told for decades, we've been told that the responsibility around contraception is equally male and female and shouldn't be left totally to the women. Why is that measure suggesting then that it's only women are responsible for the contraception? The lads have to go out and buy the Johnnies and whatever else, and you know what will happen there. The lads, well, we urge everybody to be absolutely be responsible. Young job seekers, by the way, will have a €5 a week increase in their weekly allowance as well. Rental crisis seems to be overlooked. Yes, nothing seems to have been done. Rents averaging 1,350 nationally, 1,800 in Dublin. People paying fortunes for box rooms to sleep in wardrobes. Very little seems to have been done in that. There's a long lead-in time, for example. It's not going to be for at least a year before we have a tax on zoned land. That's land that's been held by developers and not been built on. Why are we waiting over a year for that? The banks, are they going to cough up anything? A couple of the banks, by the way, the bank levy brought in €150 million to the state every year since it was introduced in 2013. Some of the banks are now leaving the country, like Ulster Bank, KBC Bank, and the yield will drop €63 million in that tax, that levy to the government, because the banks who are leaving won't be coughing up anything. And of course, with the final public health restrictions still to be lifted in, what, 10 days time is it, or thereabouts, less, 8 days maybe, October 22nd, the pandemic hasn't gone away. €4 billion is going to be put into a COVID contingency fund. €7 billion in total has been set aside to deal with COVID next year, because let's face it, lads, COVID isn't going to end on October 22nd or any day soon, and we need to observe all the protocols.
Local issues now, and to the Naas Municipal District we go, and joining me on the line is Fine Gael Councillor Evie Salmon. Evie, good morning to you and welcome to the programme.
Good morning, Owen. Thanks for having me.
Motions that you brought forward to the meeting then, and we'll start from the bottom and read the way up, because number 28 on the agenda, can the council confirm if they've met with Irish Water regarding the failure at the Ballymore Eustis water treatment plant?
Yeah, so no confirmation of a meeting, which is probably telling of our relationship with Irish Water. Myself and Councillor Tracy O'Dwyer have been looking for a full council meeting with Irish Water regarding the extension of the Barrow water to the Naas and Kilcullen and Brannockstown areas, and we still haven't had a proper meeting. We've had brief online meetings where we could raise issues, but we haven't had a briefing on the Barrow scheme. So, look, it's not surprising that Kildare County Council seem to have not met with Irish Water after this failure at the Ballymore Eustis water treatment plant. As soon as Kildare County Council became aware, they were in touch with Irish Water, and they were assured that the issue was fully resolved. I don't think it should have been up to Kildare County Council. As soon as there was a failure, Irish Water should have been in touch with Kildare County Council and Dublin City Council. We know from previous reports that Dublin City Council weren't told about it for 12 days later. So look, the response says it's fully compliant with drinking water regulations and the oversight is by the HSE. But I think really, like, we have a long way to go with Irish Water's communication with councils on a range of issues.
Yeah, and I know inspections are taking place now as well, and there's going to be more information coming out of that from all the water treatment plants around the country. You also wanted the council to confirm how many applications have been received under the commercial incentive grant scheme.
Yeah, so the incentive scheme was passed in November 2020. It was actually on the back of motions that I had brought to the council as the Local Government Rates Act passed through the Oireachtas. And the objective of the scheme is to give new businesses a grant to occupy a commercial property that's been vacant for over 2 years. So it's about getting people into those buildings that have been vacant for over 2 years, haven't seen any turnover. So at the end of year one, the grant is 75% of the rates paid. At the end of year two, it's 50% of the rates paid. And at the end of year three, it's 25% of the rates paid. So look, I probably jumped the gun a little bit with this motion. 2021 is the first year of it, and people have until the end of the year to apply for the grant. But in the period from January to the end of September, we've had 5 applications for the scheme. So I'm delighted to see that you know, that's potentially 5 premises that are being filled that were previously vacant. And I know there's currently 3 of those applications being processed at the moment. And the scheme is being advertised quite often, and I would encourage anyone thinking of setting up a new business to maybe look at vacant properties and give the unit a chance considering this grant.
Your final motion then, Evie, you wanted the council to put pedestrian markings on the footpaths at Dunn Stores and St John's Lane in Naas. What response did you get in regards to that?
So this motion was actually raised with councillors by Naas Access Group, who do great work, but in particular, they were out for Make Way Day and they noticed that the footpaths just at Dunn Stores and St John's Lane aren't great for accessibility for pedestrians. So the district office in Naas will assess footpaths at Dunn Stores and St John's Lane with a view to improving pedestrian safety, and will give consideration to potential footpath upgrade works.
Okay.
Owen, I just had one more motion joined with Councillor Colm Kenny. Just on the traffic at Pipers Hill, it was asking that a report be given to members after every stakeholders meeting, so that members can update residents.
Well, Evie, you know that I spoke to you at the town hall in Naas 2 years ago about this.
Absolutely.
And you know, to see this still on agendas is very frustrating for residents.
Absolutely. I find it totally frustrating myself, and it's like going around in circles. It came to a head in 2019 when the ETBI offices put a barrier over the entrance to their car park to stop people using it as a drop-off point. Since then, we've had stakeholders meetings that have broken down. We've had a road safety report done for KWETB. KWETB have gone out for procurement twice to cost the safety report and haven't had any responses. So we're back at stakeholders meetings with KWETB, who own the campus, Ballymore, who own the road and are building the estate, and KCC, who gave planning permission to it all. So, look, we just want to keep residents up to date. We want a solution. I think there is one there that if they all worked together, they could come to an agreement on delivering a second entrance, and really at this stage that needs to be done.
Okay, Fine Gael councillor on the Naas Municipal District, Evie Salmon. Thanks for joining us, Evie, and good morning.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Still to come on the programme this morning, the story of the fugitive dog Pandora, who fled from the Schiphol International Airport at Amsterdam. What has happened? We'll tell you more before we go finish this morning. Some messages coming in. Paddy Maloney of the Chieftain says, Tony, he also played with the Jay Giles band. Great tin whistle solo by Paddy Maloney on that. Smoking has nothing to do with the money. If the government were interested in stopping people smoking, they would just ban them. It's a major source of income for them. Well, it is. Kind of 13 quid and every box goes back to the government. Why would they want to ban smoking? Clem, bam, after hitting the jackpot again, it will be a billion euro road. Well, we'll wait and see about the Atai distributor road. And Seamus Sinnott in Dunlavin, good morning to you, Seamus. Two brilliant musicians, Paddy Maloney and Tony McMahon, gone to the eternal reward. May they rest in peace. I always remember the Chieftains giving a concert in Barrettstown, says Seamus. Brilliant music indeed. Let's do this.
Crime Watch on KFM.
With Manguard Plus, Ladytown Business Park, Naas. We keep it secure and safe 24 hours a day. 045 408 300.
And joining us this morning is Garda David Prendergast from Naas Garda Station. Hi, David.
Hello. Well, let's see. Just check that now, Kira. Yes, that was my fault. There you go, Kira. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Dave.
We'll leave you in the safe and secure arms of Kira then.
No problem.
We'll begin with north of the county there, Dave, Selbridge. This very serious, an assault on two men, which occurred on the Clane Road in the town last Sunday.
That's correct. Last Sunday night, as you're saying, at approximately 10:15 p.m. on the Clane Road in Selbridge, two men were walking out of the town when a white car, possibly a Volvo, pulled up alongside them, and a male passenger got out and struck both men to their heads with some form of an implement. causing obviously injury to both men. Both had to be taken to hospital. So again, anyone that might have been passing the area of Clane Road last Sunday night at approximately 10:15 p.m. again, a white Volvo possibly. Just any information, please contact Selbridge Garda Station on 0160123700.
Okay, and now moving to burglaries. First off, in Naas, there's a burglary at a house in the Elmwood Estate on the Blessington Road and also in the Old Town Estate, and they both happened last Monday afternoon.
That's correct. The first one, as you mentioned, was on the Elmwood Estate on the Blessington Road. This occurred last Friday at approximately 9:20 in the evening. And the homeowner was out in her back garden, and on returning to the house through the back door, a lone male pushed past her and he entered the house. And he was looking for money. He searched rooms and he took off with the injured party's handbag and an amount of cash. Now, a description of this male was he was about 5'6" in height. He was clean shaven. He's wearing a beige peak hat, dark coat, grey trousers, black shoes and yellow gloves. So Gardaí and Naas are looking for any information in relation to this particular burglary, again, last Friday night at the Elmwood Estate in Naas. Now, as you mentioned, there was also a burglary at the Old Town Lawns Estate. Now, this was actually on Monday afternoon last. This was between 2:45 p.m. and 4:25 p.m. The house was vacant between these times, and when the homeowner returned, they found that the rooms had been searched through and a number of items of jewellery were missing. Now, again, I remind people just to use their house alarms to make sure their houses are secure, etc., yeah, when they are leaving. Any information to Naas Garda Station on these particular two incidents?
Okay, and Castle Dermot, there was a burglary at a house over the weekend.
That's correct. This occurred on Friday last, the 8th. It was actually over the weekend, as you say, between Friday and Sunday last, when a house in the area was left vacant for the weekend. Forcible entry was gained to the house and a number of rooms were ransacked. Now, a number of items, including two Apple iPads, a Rolex watch and a number of various pieces of jewellery and an amount of cash were taken. So any information on suspicious persons or vehicles in the area over the weekend, again, it's Ballycullen Lower is the area where this took place. Ballycullen Lower in Castle Dermot. Contact Castle Dermot Garda Station.
Sorry about that, Dave. Criminal damage in Selbridge to a house, and then also damage in a thigh to a takeaway restaurant.
That's right. Well, in Selbridge there, it was approximately at 3:30 on the 7th of October last. That was last Thursday. As in Dara Court in Selbridge, just a caller reported that his house was egged. Now, this particular type of incident can be quite common on the lead up to Halloween, I suppose, with the general tomfoolery that goes with it. But just keep your mind, throwing eggs at houses, causing any sort of damage with fireworks and all that sort of stuff, it is an offence, it's a criminal offence, and we are attending calls and we're dealing with them and following through. It's a similar incident here, I suppose, in Maynooth Harbour occurred over the weekend. A firework was thrown into a portable toilet and there was extensive damage caused to the toilet. So again, there is follow-up on this. We have details of who is involved. But just to be reminded, if people are worried about that sort of stuff, they can report to their local Garda station.
Okay.
And just as you mentioned, the tie, there was damage to a window of a takeaway in a tie, which occurred in the early hours of last Sunday morning at 1:10 a.m. This premise is at the Peony Inn on Stanhope Street. Now, a number of people were reportedly fighting outside of the premises, and this resulted in the front window being smashed. And a number of witnesses broke up the fight, and the people involved all left in different directions. So Gardaí and I are examining CCTV from around the area, but are requesting for anyone who might have any information about who might have been involved to contact them.
Okay, now, thefts of cars, there's been two over the past week or so, one in Leakslip and the other in Prosperous.
That's correct. Overnight, starting in Leakslip, between Wednesday and Thursday last, the keys of the car were taken from a house at Elton Court Estate in Leakslip. And a blue Ford Mondeo registration number 181D22415 was taken from the front driveway. Now, this vehicle has still not been recovered, and Gardaí and Leakslip are requesting for any member of the public to might have information as to its movements or current whereabouts to contact them. Again, it's a blue Ford Mondeo. Registration number 181D22415. The second incident took place in Clane at the back of a house at Curry Hills in Prosperous on Monday last, sometime between 8 a.m. and 7 p.m. Now, the car is quite distinct in that it is orange in colour and it bears a Northern Ireland registration. It's PXZ4316. It's a Toyota CHR. It's a hybrid car, Jeep type of car. Again, an Orden registration in orange in colour. And again, any information on its movements or its whereabouts, contact Clane Garda Station.
Okay, and just finally, theft of tools in both Newbridge and Kildangan, Dave.
That's correct, yeah, both similar types of offences, not known if they're connected, but on Friday evening last, between 5pm and 7:30pm, the theft of a number of gardening tools took place from a white Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van, which had been parked at Connell Drive in the town. The injured party had been doing landscaping work at a nearby house, and whilst he was working away, the van was opened and three items were taken: a Husqvarna hedge trimmers, a leaf blower, and a Husqvarna long reach pole. So any information in relation to that one to Newbridge Garda Station. And the second incident took place in Kildangan, where the theft of tools from a van took place. It was on Wednesday last at around 4:30pm. The injured party had parked the van and returned a short time later to discover that a number of tools had been taken, notably a steel saw model 361, orange and white in colour, steel saw model 261, orange and white in colour, and a Pro Tool hedge trimmers. Is red and white in colour. So any information in relation to this particular theft, which occurred in Kildangan, to Monastrevin Garda Station.
Well, Garda David Prendergast of Naas Garda Station, thanks for joining us for Crime Time.
Thank you very much, Sophia. Take care.
Crime Watch on KFM.
With Manguard Plus, Ladytown Business Park, Naas, PSA licensed, 045 408 300 or manguardplus.ie.
Okay, your help be appreciated on any of those crimes around the county. Now, speaking of, we won't call it a crime. Recently on this programme, we heard the story of Pandora. Pandora, one of two dogs, the other being Thor, who were on their way from South Africa via Amsterdam's Schiphol International Airport to Moon here in County Kildare. The couple accompanying them took them out for a walk at Schiphol Airport, one at a time. And when they were putting Pandora back in the box, apparently might have left the front little of the kennel thing open. Little did they realise while they were walking Thor that Pandora would make a break for the border. But Pandora did make a break for the border. Let's hear more about this. Karen, good morning to you. And welcome back to the programme. Now, if I hit that button again. Now, yesterday evening, let me tell listeners, I was in Conlon's of Athy and I was getting some fuel in my vehicle. And as I'm walking out, this gentleman in a South African accent says to me, "Are you the guy who introduced my wife about the, interviewed my wife about the dog?" And I said, "Yeah." And he says, "I am. This is, we found Pandora." And I said, "You're not the guy that we have. We would blah, 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 and it." And I said, "Is your wife with?" "She's in the car." I opened the door. We fist bumped, as in good COVID practices. And we discussed that Pandora has been found. Karen, delighted to, and I'm looking at all these wonderful photographs. And obviously Pandora and Thor love hugs and to be held up in the arms. But these are big dogs. What breed are they?
They're pit bulls, so they're not small dogs, but they're our babies.
Right, they're big pit bulls with really the most lovable faces and big eyes that you could ever see, and they love being hugged. Now, we told the story when we spoke to you 2 weeks ago of how Duvan and Caitlin were accompanying the dogs from South Africa back to Moon. And what happened at Amsterdam Airport, we told people what happened. And the bull Pandora decided to make a break for the border.
Yes. So she was found a week later in the corn, the maize fields. Tony decided to go over on the Friday. He flew over to Amsterdam.
Yes, but that was the thing when we had a great conversation at the petrol pumps last night. Hope we didn't hold anybody else up getting for petrol. It was a huge coincidence, and yes. I hadn't realised. And Tony said to me, "Yes, I flew to Amsterdam." I said, "You what?" He said, "Yes, I flew to Amsterdam, and we found Pandora in a cornfield, was it?"
Yes, in the maize fields, in about 8 kilometres from the airport, but basically 2 kilometres as you fly. So 8 kilometres from the airport, she was hiding in the maize field, and he bought a boom box, and he lay on his stomach, and with the help of a group, a help group, which is 40 people volunteers, they all stood there for hours and hours trying to call her and get her out of this field because they had had a sighting there of her. And he lay for hours on his stomach with a boom box, and he played voice notes of all of our voices. And she kept on coming out and going back in, going back out and coming back in. And eventually they caught her with a little bit of food.
Right.
In a crate, yes.
It's quite, you know, of course, KFM has huge listenership in Holland, and all the Dutch people were listening to your interview, and they all came out and said, we've got to find that dog. By the way, if anybody's missing a dog in Brazil or South Africa or China, get in touch with us here, because we'll do our best to find to find the dog. Now, Tony actually flew to Holland. What's a broom box, tell me?
A boombox is it's like a big speaker that you can make it. It's a big speaker that allows it to
play sound.
Play sound.
So you had the speaker saying, come on, Pandora. Come on, good girl, or whatever else. Pandora's female, I take it.
Yes.
And Thor is male. And these two are obviously a real couple, deeply in love. I'm looking at the photograph of them in the mat at your house. And the two of them, you know, with their big eyes. And, you know, pit bulls have a very bad name. Pit bulls are wonderful, loving dogs. And judging by the hugs they're getting. So, fair play to Tony. He decides to fly out to Amsterdam.
We couldn't leave our baby there.
Well, that's obviously what I was going to say. You know, that just... But she had managed to get 8 kilometres.
8 kilometres, yes.
And how long was she missing?
A week, exactly a week. They found her exactly a week after she had gone missing.
And had she wasted away a bit?
Yes, she had lost between 5 and 7 kilos.
Oh, my God.
So she hadn't eaten, and her paws were a bit raw. But she's doing. We took her to a lovely vet here in Natai, and she's been on a set of antibiotics, and she's doing very well.
Right, she looks great, and I have to say, the two of them look like two lovers again, lying on the floor. It's a wonderful story. I'm amazed at how she survived without food and even water, and how she managed to get 8 kilometres. So Pandora, it'll be a case of, you know, staying home for quite a time now. It's great talking to you again, Karen.
Thank you very much.
And to your husband, Tony. And hopefully when we meet again, it won't be over a petrol pump, as we're both discussing Pandora. But it's a very happy story. It's quite a remarkable story. And we're delighted to tell listeners how it turned out. So well done, you.
Thank you very much.
And well done, Tony, for flying to Amsterdam. And Pandora, obviously, I hope you know now how spoiled you are in terms of that amount of money.
Great talk. Thank you for everyone for all your support. We really appreciate it.
Not at all. It's a great program, and welcome again to Ireland. And I know you're enjoying your time here, and long may that last. Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right. That's Karen with the story of Pandora the Fugitive.